Welcome to episode 18 of Coffin Cast. This is your host, Kristen, the Casket Queen. Join me on this journey into the dark side. I'm telling you, Casket Queen's gonna stick. It has to, because I want it to. Damn it. Either way, hope your week is getting off to a good start. Daylight savings just ended. Based on what was said on Twitter, I'm getting the vibe that a lot of you don't like it. I, however, am a fan of daylight savings ending. I'll tell you why. I work Sundays. Getting an extra hour of sleep on a workday, I will take it in any form it comes. So what if it gets dark earlier? I'm for that. I like it dark. I love the nightlife. I've got to boogie. Yes, I just went there. All right. Cool. So now that I've embarrassed myself, let's talk about what we're doing this month. It is a brand new month. November. Welcome to it. We've been in it for 4 days now, give or take, depending on when you're listening. So we've wrapped up the Hollywood edition of Coffin Cast. So what's this month's theme, you may wonder? This month's theme is there is no theme. Surprise! There's no theme this month. Basically, it's anything but true crime. That's what I've come up with, because I've scoured the internet like a less murderous Christopher Columbus, setting my sails to a new land or something. Sounded better in my head. Either way, the stories that I have found for this month all have that in common. They are not true crime, really, in the essence of things. As I've said before, true crime wears me down. Some people are really great at it, can separate themselves from it. I consider myself somewhat of an empath, if you will, if you're into those terms, whatever. I take on feelings easy, and I feel guilty and sad. And even though the stories I'm going to be talking about this month are pretty sad, it's for some reason true crime is a little more sad to me than, you know, the regular somebody passing away kind of thing. I just had to mute my mic so I could cough. I'm very sick. But I have, made the commitment to follow through with, whoa, started out so well, didn't it? I've made the commitment to do these every week, every Monday, and I'm determined to do it for you, dear listener. So let's get into this week's episode. Minus that pause. I need to learn to edit, and I'm going to learn this month, but today is not that day. So you just got a long pause where I was hacking up along, but at least I didn't do it into the mic, because that would have been worse. Let's get into this week's episode, like I said. So this week's episode focuses on a woman named Gloria Ramirez. That name probably does not ring any bells with you. That's okay. It didn't ring any bells with me when I first read about the story. But I am guessing you know the story. Somewhere in the back of your mind, in the annals, no, the annals of your mind, because your mind doesn't have an anus, so it can't have the annals of your mind, the annals of your mind. Whoa. You know the story. You've heard it. I'm not going to give you the nickname that Gloria Ramirez was given, because that'll give it all away, and we don't want to do that. We want to have an episode. But her story has been the inspiration for an X-Files episode. It's been the inspiration for a Grey's Anatomy episode. It's been on countless news documentary-type shows, on Discovery, 2020, all sorts of things. So with that, let's go ahead and put all that aside, and let's do the Coffin Cast version of the Gloria Ramirez story. So as you know me, if you're an avid listener of CoffinCast, you know at the beginning of every episode, I like to dedicate some time to talk about who the particular focus of the story was before their death. Gloria Ramirez has next to nothing about her previous life on the internet that I can find. I know she was a mother of two. She was a single woman. She was a nursing student, but she was unemployed at the time. And she was suffering from advanced stage cervical cancer. And she was only 31 years old. Her date of birth was January 11th, 1963. And prior to February 19th, 1994, which is the date of her death, her sister believed that she had started chemo for her cervical cancer a week prior. Her sister also believes that if she had not gone to the ER that night, to that particular ER, she may still be alive. On the night of February 19th, 1994, around 8 p.m., Gloria's boyfriend called an ambulance as she was having difficulty breathing. She was taken to the Riverside General Hospital, where they found that her they found that her heart was beating too fast for her body and her blood pressure was plummeting. She was injected with diazepam, midazolam, and lorazepam to sedate her. It didn't seem to help her heart calm down, so they decided to defibrillate her in hopes of getting her heart back on a normal rhythm. They also noticed, as they started to prep her for the defibrillation, they noticed that she had a strange oily sheen all over her body, and they marked a fruity, garlicky odor. They believed it was coming from her mouth. When they attempted to draw blood, the nurse, Susan Kane, noticed a strong ammonia smell coming from the tube, to which she showed a medical resident, Julie Gorchinsky, who noticed small manila-colored particles floating in her blood. Gorchinsky sniffed the tube. Kane suddenly fainted and complained of feeling like her face was burning when she woke up. Then Gorchinsky left the room as she was feeling unwell and fainted outside by the nurse's station. She stopped breathing intermittently and was admitted to the hospital for weeks after the incident, and also suffered from avascular necrosis, which is when the blood doesn't carry enough oxygen to the blood tissue and they begin to die. The bone tissues begin to die. Gorchinsky, who was a professionally ranked surfer at the time, was fit before all this happened, and she ended up on crutches for a long while after. Very shortly thereafter, a respiratory therapist who was helping out in the ER passed out. She later was quoted as saying, "I remember hearing someone scream, then I woke up. I couldn't control the movement of my limbs." Several other hospital workers reported feeling sick and passed out, and the emergency room was quickly evacuated. Gloria was left with a small group of people to try to save her life, but it was to no avail. At 8:50 p.m., Gloria was pronounced dead, and her body was moved to an isolated part of the hospital. A nurse that helped to move her, Sally Balderas, began to vomit and also complained about feeling like she was burning. She ended up being hospitalized for 10 days after the incident. A total of 23 of the 37 hospital workers in the ER at the time of Gloria's arrival were affected in some way. They were taken to the parking lot to be treated, and their clothes were removed for fear of what may be on them. Later that night, a hazmat team arrived to scour the hospital to find out what the toxic chemicals may be that caused this. They found nothing. It took 6 days to do an autopsy on Gloria. They did so in an airtight room in full hazmat suits. They took blood tissue and even air from the body bag. But there was nothing that pointed exactly to what happened to the hospital workers or to Gloria herself. The official cause of death was ruled cardiac dysrhythmia due to kidney failure from her cervical cancer. She was laid to rest a month later in Riverside. And there are many theories about what happened that night, and we will go over a few and then I'll give my opinion in the end. Theory number one, DMSO. Bear with me, I am not a scientifically minded person, and when scientific terms come out of my mouth, they may sound wrong, but just know I am doing my best. So the Forensic Science Center found an abnormally large amount of dimethyl sulfone in Gloria's system. They theorized that she had been using DMSO gel, which is actually a compound called dimethyl sulfoxide, as an anti-inflammatory to deal with the pain from her cervical cancer. DMSO is a still-used product today. It's meant to treat pain and inflammation. It's readily available on Amazon or anywhere else. And it's also a chemical solvent. So many people that have studied this believe that that might be the explanation of the oily sheen on her body. And also that fruity garlic smell that they mentioned. Because they are both properties of DMSO. Users who ingest DMSO also claim that it has a garlicky taste. It should be noted that DMSO is also one oxygen atom away from being dimethyl sulfone, which is what they found in her body, meaning that combining the DMSO with oxygen, as in the oxygen from the oxygen mask that they put on her to help her breathe, could have combined with the DMSO already in her system and created the dimethyl sulfone. When that happens, it begins to crystallize, meaning those manila particles that they saw in the tube after they drew her blood, that would be the explanation of that. However, also should be said, it also should be stated that both of these compounds are harmless. They would not have caused her death. They would not have caused the people in the room to pass out. But we're not done there. The defibrillation that took place when they defibrillated her heart could have caused the compounds to break down the sulfate already in her system and cause what's called dimethyl sulfate and cause it to escape her body. They also theorized that the change in the temperature of her blood being taken from her body and exposed to air could have caused that change as well in the compound. Here's where it gets to where it might make a little sense. Dimethyl sulfate can cause damage to major organs, convulsions, delirium, and paralysis, which can explain what happened to the hospital workers that night. The first symptom would have been something too akin to somebody being sprayed with tear gas and that burning sensation that some of the hospital workers complained about. Now, the coroner's office believes this to be the most plausible cause. However, it should be noted that this is just a hypothesis and has not actually been tested. Gloria's family also denied that she ever used DMSO. Theory two, mass hysteria. So, though the coroner believes the previous theory is likely the most plausible as to why everybody in the emergency room that night seemed to have a reaction to Gloria's body. This is the California Department of Health and Human Services theory. They interviewed 34 of the 37 workers that were on hand that night in the emergency department. They found the people that were affected had certain things in common. They found that all those that were affected were all women. Can't see it, but I literally just put my hand on my hips. Because if any of you know Freud, hysteria can only happen to women. Not really, but I think hysteria is a bunch of baloney. Anyway, let's continue on with this bogus theory, at least in my mind. All the people that were affected also had normal blood tests after the exposure. Also, it was only people who were in 2 feet of Gloria's body and handled Gloria's IV lines. They also surmised that all of the hospital workers had suffered from mass hysteria. That's kind of redundant, but that's what I wrote. Sorry. So what is mass hysteria? It means that the symptoms were all psychosomatic and had no external factor, and once one person experienced it, it had a domino effect. Both Korchinski and Welch deny that this had happened because they both had medical issues after, and those could not be explained away by mass hysteria. Korchinski, if you recall, had avascular necrosis and actually developed hepatitis later on from all of this. She even sued the county after the mass hysteria theory came out to prove that this was not correct. But here we are. That's what California and Health and Human Services decided happened in that emergency room that night. Before we get into the fourth and fifth theories of this whole case, I'm going to introduce you to some friends of mine at Pop Poor Review. I'm going to give them a moment or two to tell you about themselves, and also I am going to tell you just a teensy bit about Anchor, and then we'll get on with the fourth and fifth theories in the death of Gloria Ramirez.
What's up, guys? You like movies? You like cleverly named cocktails? Then why don't you listen to Pop
Poor
Review,
a podcast where we review movies, all while drinking some cocktails. Join us every Monday as we discuss new movies, old movies, and everything in between. New episodes Mondays at 7 Eastern. Come have a drink with us.
Theory 4, methylene. So this is one of those theories that's kind of, it's possible, it's plausible, but not very probable. It could have happened, maybe, but it's based on all the other factors and everything. It's very unlikely that this is what caused what happened at Gloria and what happened to the rest of the hospital workers. But in the interest of covering all our bases, we're going to talk about it. So 3 years after Gloria's death, the New Times LA published their theory. They believe that her death, as well as the illness of the hospital workers, were caused by methylene. What the hell is methylene, you may ask? Well, I will tell you what methylene is. It is a precursor drug used to produce methamphetamines. So in their theory, they said that the members of the hospital staff were using IV bags to smuggle methylene out of the hospital. They believe that one of the bags with the methylene was given to Gloria. The main reason behind this theory is the smell of ammonia that everybody that got ill reported. They had a strong smell of ammonia. The ammonia cannot be attributed to DMSO. Could be attributed to any number of chemicals that would have been in the hospital at the time, cleaning chemicals, what have you. But this is also one of the main ways to tell if methylene is around, is the ammonia smell. Also, one other reason that this was brought up was the fact that Riverside County was one of the largest meth distribution points in the U.S. Did not know that. Now I do. Our last and final theory, Theory 5, bad conditions at Riverside General Hospital. The Ramirez family hired outside investigators to review Gloria's death and came to the conclusion that Riverside County Hospital was to blame for her death. They believe the county and the hospital made a toxic monster out of Gloria in an effort to cover up the truth of what happened. In 1991, 3 years prior to Gloria's death, two employees had to seek medical treatment due to a poisonous gas leak from a sterilizer in the hospital. In 1992, the hospital was notified of algae growing in a water reservoir. And the year before her death, in 1993, sewer gas was detected in the emergency room, the very emergency room where she died. Her family believes that partially due to the flip-flopping of the main medical examiner, Dan Caputo, from calling it an unnatural death to a natural death, as well as the suicide of a main investigator on the case, Stephanie Albright, a month into the investigation, that there is some kind of cover-up being done by Riverside County. Also, the syringe and vial containing Ramirez's blood from that night with the crystals had mysteriously disappeared. If there was some sort of something going on, A, you'd think they'd want to contain it because that was the source of everybody fainting and getting sick, or they'd want to investigate it. But they said that they just accidentally discarded it. Go figure. The Ramirez family has filed a malpractice and wrongful death suit against the county. I don't know how that ended, if they succeeded or what. I wasn't able to find anything on that. The hospital said that they were operating safely and effectively before, during, and after Ramirez's death, and they had an independent inspector check the vents, and they found there was no cause for concern. As of now, investigators consider the case to be closed and are no longer investigating Gloria's death, nor what happened to the employees that night. So now the moment you've all been waiting for. What's my opinion? What does Kristen think about all this? I know you really care. Well, my opinion is that there very well could have been a cover-up with all the citations and all the employees needing medical assistance years prior and all the weird smells and gases and algae. It's very plausible that there was some kind of chemical that was released from the sewer in the hospital that night that made everybody sick and might have exacerbated Gloria's symptoms and made them worse. That's very plausible. Also, the DMSO theory is probably where I'm leaning the most because of all the kind of physical evidence that can be explained away by the DMSO. Her family swears that she never used it, but how do you know? You know, I don't know what kind of lotion my mother uses before she goes to bed at night. I don't know what medications my father is on for anything. I don't know these things. Does anybody know these things? I don't. So she could have been using DMSO without her family knowing. Either way, what really gets to me about this particular story is the lack of information on Gloria. Gloria Ramirez is reduced to the nickname the Toxic Lady. That is so vastly unfair that she lived 31 years of her life. She had children. She had a family that obviously loved her because they fought for her. And she was reduced to the Toxic Lady. That's terrible. And I doubt her family is ever going to listen to this, but if they do, I would love to know about her. I wouldn't even put it on the podcast. I just want to know who she was because that's who I am. I like to know the people behind the stories. And this story, the first time I heard it was in, I think it was around either the same year or the year prior to it, or year after it happened. Not prior, because I'm not a time traveler. But I remember watching, I was a kid, and I was homesick, and I was laying on my couch very ill, watching, I believe it was either TLC or the Discovery Channel, because that's how you got your true crime fix or true medical story fix in those days, before the triplets and the families and whatever. And I remember watching it, and I just was so sad because this lady was reduced to being, like her family said, a toxic monster. And it just made me so sad. And I remember I was sick, and I was like, gosh, if I have to go to the hospital because of this illness, I hope that doesn't happen to me. That's terrible. So that is my thoughts. That's my closing thought on it. That's the end of the episode. Well, partially. So hopefully you learned something about the story of the quote-unquote toxic lady. That's the last time I ever want to hear any of you say her name as the toxic lady. That's not her name. Her name is Gloria Ramirez. Learn it. Know it. Use it. She is not the toxic lady. She was a 31-year-old single mother who had a family that loved her and fought for her. So she had to be more than her nickname. Gloria Ramirez. Remember it. that's this week's episode. Next week, we've got something really cool coming up. I'm excited about it because I don't know very much about it. So I'm excited to learn something new. But it's a pretty weird one from what little I know already. So look forward to that. Also, this month, I am thinking of doing a giveaway. It's either going to be this month or the beginning of next month. Have some ideas floating around. I already know one thing I want to give away, and I'm going to do it kind of as a package deal sort of thing, so it'll be more than one thing, but I already have one thing I know I definitely want to give away. Excuse me. Hopefully by next week, this will all pass. I'm hoping that it will. It should. It better, because it's gross. Either way, thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter at CoffinCast with a capital C. Follow me on Instagram, even though I hardly use it, at CoffinCastPod. Email me constructive feedback or positive reinforcement, story ideas. If you want to participate in the listener's choice at the end of the month, put in your ideas for a story. You'll get a shout out from me, a personal one from me. Also, if you're a podcaster and you have a promo that you would like me to cover, I will be more than happy to do that. Also, you can rate me on Apple Podcasts, which would be great. You can follow and rate me on Podchaser, which would also be great. You can, you know, just anywhere that you listen to me, rate me, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your family, tell your dog, tell that annoying coworker that chews really loud or clips their nails at their desk. Tell them too. I don't know. Just tell somebody. So, let's close this up for the week. Remember, life is but a dream walking, but death is going home. I hope you have the best week you've ever had in your life. I love you. You're beautiful. See you next week.